Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
You know what the play is on Thanksgiving? On the Friday after Thanksgiving, you go to the other parents in the marriage's house. I'm about to leave here and go have Thanksgiving 2.0 tonight. That's fun. Welcome back, Grant and Danny. No Danny on the Fan. Michael Sean Duggar, who covers the Seahawks in Seattle for the Athletics, going to join us coming up at 4:25. If you did a turkey trot yesterday morning and then posted about it, thanks for making us all feel like jerks. Appreciate that. You could just do it and not post about it, and then we could all feel better about ourselves who didn't do it. I was thinking about this yesterday. I think next year, someone remind me, and we will pull this off one way or the other. I'll talk Danny into this. He may not participate, but he might. There's a small chance. I think we should do a Grant and Danny pickup football, probably two-hand touch because we're all too old to play tackle, but two-hand touch or flag football game the morning of Thanksgiving next year with listeners. We just find a field where everyone goes on Thursday morning. Now, there's a good chance someone pulls a muscle. There's a, I would say, a decent chance someone goes to the hospital. Like, everyone's going to be out of shape and gross. But I think it'd be a lot of fun. You get dirty and tired and sweaty, and then you go home to your family and spend the rest of your Thanksgiving. But I like the possibility of a listener, Grant and Danny, Thursday of Thanksgiving turkey football game. You guys want to do your turkey walks or whatever? Those sound terrible. But I'll play a little pigskin early in the morning on a Thursday.
Yeah, I remember when you guys did the mushball tournament at the Nats Baseball Academy a few years ago. I was actually there working in promotions. But that was a blast. I mean, it would have been awesome to play with you guys. But, of course, I was working in promotions and I couldn't have fun. So
it was a lot of fun. And we have a whole year to get in shape.
Right, yeah.
I mean, or at least to pretend like we're going to get in shape. We could say right now, like, oh, by next year, I'll be in great shape. I'll be running routes. I won't get tired.
I think that would be a blast. I'm all in on
so
that.
So if you can remember, revisit that with me next October, or any listener that remembers, you can tweet me at Grant H. Paulson or hit me up. Ideally, we'll still be doing this, and the train hasn't gone off the tracks, and CK hasn't come in and told us to turn in our key cards by then, and maybe we can run that back next year. All right, what a weekend. This is always one of my favorite sports weekends on the calendar. Anytime you've got one of those holiday three-day weekends where you get games all day on Friday because a lot of people aren't working, it's just a built-in advantage to one-upping every other sports weekend. So you had college football games all day today that are still going on, college basketball games, including tonight, two top five teams with Gonzaga and Duke playing. Like, that's just your Friday. That's your appetizer. Obviously, the Capitals play tonight and on Sunday. The Wizards play tonight and tomorrow. By the way, they owe me one because what they did on Wednesday night was embarrassing against a three-win team. I'm still mad about that. So no pressure, boys, but make up for that as soon as possible, please and thank you. But today, it wasn't even noon, and Baylor and Michigan State were already trading big buckets on the hardwood, and all the college football games being played, there are a bunch of good ones. I think nine games with major conferences at stake. But Cincinnati, ECU, playoffs on the line, a game that's taking place this evening. And then you get to tomorrow, which is just going to be phenomenal. Sunday in the NFL, probably going to be better. So here's tomorrow's slate for you. Ohio State, Michigan, the best rivalry in college football and arguably the best rivalry in all of sports. Noon on Fox, number two Ohio State, number five Michigan. I actually think the Wolverines are slightly fraudulent. I think Ohio State's going to beat them by double digits. regardless, going to be a lot of fun to see that atmosphere and to be able to sit back, kick our feet up, and watch that game. You got another matchup between top 10s who hate each other, regional rivals, Oklahoma State hosting Oklahoma. Oklahoma State's number 7, Oklahoma's number 10. That game's tomorrow night on ABC, 7:30 kick. Could have ramifications as it pertains to the playoffs. Will definitely have ramifications as it pertains to the big bowls. Alabama still has a shot to either make or miss out on the playoffs, potentially. I think they're going to crush Auburn. I think they're probably going to win the SEC championship game against number 1 Georgia, and they'll be into the playoffs. Both them and the Georgia Bulldogs are going to be in the playoffs as far as I'm concerned. But the Iron Bowl, which is always worth your time, Alabama, Auburn, number 3, Crimson Tide, tomorrow, 3:30 on CBS. And I know Auburn is not as good as we were kind of hoping as it, you know, sets up for this game, but they always play closer than are expected. I think it's like a 20-point spread. I might actually take Auburn in points just because of the rivalry. And I'll throw one more in there. Notre Dame's playing Stanford tomorrow, 8 p.m. on Fox. There's a lot up in the air in college football, including Wisconsin trying to get to a Big Ten title game. Texas has had just a horrendous season. They're trying to avoid a 7th straight loss. Florida playing without Dan Mullen, who they paid $12 million not to coach them anymore. As an interim coach, they need to win to make a bowl game. Pac-12 is going to be out of the playoffs, it looks like, for a 5th straight year. ACC is going to be out for the first time in the college football playoff history over these last half dozen seasons. So should be a really, really big Saturday in college football. And then the main event on Sunday, you get your entree. These are the games I like the most Sunday in the National Football League. 5-4-1 Pittsburgh at 6-4 Cincinnati. Steelers, Bengals, Pittsburgh catching 4. Second place in the AFC North is up for grabs. The winner of this game will be just behind the Ravens. The loser probably has to just start focusing on the wild card in the AFC. Right now, the Steelers are the first team out in the AFC playoffs. They're 8th, while Cincinnati, 7 teams get in. Pretty comfortable at 6. That changes considerably. They will fall out of the playoff picture if they lose. Bengals last week got right. They beat the Raiders 32-13. They ran for 160 yards. Joe Mixon had 130 of them and a couple touchdowns. I think they've kind of found something here where Joe Burrow, who threw for sub-150 last week, is more of a game manager. You play some defense and you run the football. Pittsburgh's coming off a real tough loss to the Chargers, but they were without 3 key defensive starters, including T.J. Watt. Ben Roethlisberger's been playing a lot better the last couple weeks after a real slow start to the season. Can't wait for that 1 o'clock kickoff. Bucks and the Colts, looks like it could be a classic. Tampa Bay's -3. The Bucks are 7-3. The Colts are 6-5. Tampa Bay's on a 2-game losing streak. Before Monday Night Football, when they pummeled the Giants by 20 points. And I think they've left some of their problems behind them now. They've gotten right. They got their get-well antidote in New York. Meanwhile, the Colts, winners of 6 of 8 after they started 0-3, have hit their stride. And I think they're a team nobody wants to play. They're kind of like the Patriots without the same headlines. They run the ball and they play defense and they're scary to deal with. Jonathan Taylor, in their last 6 games, 5 times has gone over 100 yards for totals of 185, 116, 172, 107, and 145. I think this game comes down to whether or not Vita Vea plays. He was carted off against Washington, didn't play against the Giants. They're the number 1 run defense in the league, number 2 in yards per play on the ground against, because of Vita Vea, who's just a human smart car in the middle, who takes on double and triple teams. If he plays, I think it's bad for the Colts, and maybe they stop the run, and at that point, Carson Wentz isn't going to beat you. If he doesn't, you can probably run on Tampa Bay. I actually like the Bucs in this game. One contest, the line keeps moving on that looks like it could be lopsided between two really good teams. The 8-3 Titans, who lost last week to the Texans, are in New England to take on the 7-4 Patriots, suddenly the hottest team in the AFC, winners of 5 in a row. New England's up to a 6.5-point favorite, and this line keeps climbing. I actually think the Patriots not only win, but end up covering as well. Ryan Tannehill's coming off 4 interceptions last week against Houston, and he's without A.J. Brown and Julio Jones. Of course, they don't have Derrick Henry, so offensively, they're just not what they were. They're starting to average in a lot of these games right around 5 or 4.5 yards per play. They've been leaning on their number 12-ranked defense, which is number 8 against the run. Really good coaching staff. But at some point, you know, that runs out, and you need to just make some plays and score some points. And they haven't been able to. And the Patriots, like the Colts, have an identity. They will ground you and pound you and beat you into submission and wear you down. The last seven games New England has played, they've run for 126, 120, 148, 142, 151, 184, and 134. In that time, Mac Jones has only thrown four picks. They're not asking a lot of him. It's short, it's safe throws, and he's protecting the football. I like their identity that they've kind of built right now. I think they beat the Titans. Another really good matchup on Sunday is the Rams and the Packers. 7-3, Los Angeles, 8-3, Green Bay. Toss-up type game. Rams are favored, I think, by 1 point still. They had a terrible stretch, back-to-back losses before their bye. Remember, they played Tennessee in primetime. Matt Stafford threw two ugly picks, including a pick six. Another one in the end zone where they returned it inside the five. They got destroyed by San Francisco 31-10 in a game in which the 49ers did whatever they wanted on the ground, ran for 150 yards on 42 attempts. I worried about the Rams going into the bye, but I think they're catching Green Bay at a favorable time. The Packers could be looking ahead to their bye, and Aaron Rodgers is hurt. I don't know if you guys saw his weird press conference. I think at this point he's just doing a bit. I don't really know what his deal is, but I think this is all a work. And at the end of the year, he's going to be like, "Ha, that was all a big joke. Shailene's teaching me how to be an actor, man." Like, put his toe up on TV for everyone to look at. It was very creepy. Anyway, he's got a broken bone in his toe that he was showing everybody. So he's just trying to get to the bye week. And normally that's not a great formula. I think the Rams, who need the win a little more than Green Bay does, Green Bay's going to win their division no matter what. The Rams are chasing in the West behind Arizona by a game and a half. And now all of a sudden, a little bit of a free fall. I think they're comfortably going to get a wild card, but they have to have this game, whereas Green Bay would kind of like this game, trying to get to 9-3. Although the Packers still have thoughts, I would guess, of being the one seed. Only one team gets a bye. They are a game back of Arizona for the one seed, so that would be a big deal for them as well. But you've seen their offense the last couple weeks just hasn't been the same without Rodgers playing at 100%. And a sneaky game that's really good and important in the NFC wildcard chase, Vikings 49ers in San Fran. San Francisco's a three-point favorite. These are the last two teams right now in the playoffs in the NFC. Vikings are a 6 seed. San Francisco's a 7 seed. Vikings have won 2 in a row over the Chargers and against Green Bay. Some quality wins. They've opened up their offense. Jefferson's gone for a $1.43 and a $1.69 through the air the last 2 weeks. But I actually love San Francisco in this game. They've also turned a corner. They beat the Rams 31-10 and Jacksonville 30-10. And I think they're going to run the ball well on the Vikings, who are without Danielle Hunter. He's out for the year. Everson Griffin's having I don't say this lightly, I mean this, like a manic episode, and is having some mental health issues. So he's been placed on the non-football injury list. Dalvin Tomlinson, their defensive tackles, on the COVID list. Their defensive line is kind of in shambles. And I think the 49ers are just going to run the ball down their throat and beat them maybe by 7 to 10 points. It'll be the first time all year the Vikings lost by that much, but it wouldn't surprise me. But a great, great group of games on Sunday in the NFL. Those are some of my favorites. All right, next, let's focus on what matters most, Monday Night Football. Washington and Seattle. Michael Sean Dugar covers the Seahawks, is going to scout the opponent with us on Grant and Danny. Sans Danny today, next on The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Stretch run of Grant and Danny without Danny today. Caps hockey comes your way at 4:45. Pregame begins, and they're dropping the puck over at the arena a few blocks away at 5 o'clock for the Capitals and the Florida Panthers tonight. Right now, though, as we told you, it is time to scout the opponent. We are joined by Michael Sean Dugar, who covers the Seahawks for the Athletic in Seattle. A Seahawks team that was probably a lot more fun to cover until a couple weeks ago. Their offense has scored all of 13 points in its last two games. Michael Sean, what is going on with Seattle when they've got the football?
Their offense is kind of broken. You know, it's just all of the things that Russell Wilson was able to mask about the offensive deficiencies, which extend beyond just Shane Waldron or Daryl Bevel or Brian Schottenheimer as the coordinator. He's unable to do anymore. Like, you know, a franchise quarterback, and a foreign concept in Washington, but a franchise quarterback can, like, mask a bunch of issues. And Russell usually does that. Like, his O-line's been bad. Well, that's fine. Russell's, like, a good scrambler. He's an elite backyard ball player, and he can run, you know, if he needs to go pick up first downs and stuff. He was really a part of the run game, you know, back in the early years of his career. His receivers are kind of some short, underwhelming guys. Well, you know, Russ is really good throwing out deep and outside the numbers, and if he gets one-on-one matchups, it doesn't matter if he's showing through a guy who's 5'4 or Jimmy Graham size, you know, and his pinpoint accuracy had just been so money that it kind of didn't matter who he was throwing to. And even though he's never really been a good third down quarterback outside of 2015, he's been able to mask that too with just being super, super, super dynamic on first and second down. Like, all these things that have been wrong, you know, the offense never generates yards after catch. So, like, all of these things have been wrong, and Russ has been so great that it kind of hasn't mattered. Well, now it all matters. You know, and on top of that, you add his finger going the other way. So I think all of those things that were wrong before, they're still wrong now, but the difference is Russ is not like Superman anymore.
Yeah, and that's kind of where I want to go. We'll come back to some of the other issues they've got, but it's weird because I've always liked Russell Wilson, and I think he's a really good player, but I do kind of feel like he's getting a pass. Like, he himself has been really bad and isn't really doing enough to fix this, and I feel like the national narrative is like, well, he's a victim in all of this, which, don't get me wrong, there's some of that, I'm sure. But you got DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. Like, there's a lot of quarterbacks that would want those weapons. I understand it's not 72 and sunny for him, but I feel like he's playing badly.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't even say he's getting the benefit of the doubt. I mean, maybe nationally I can't speak to, but, like, here for sure, oh, no. The pitchforks are out, you know, for Russell. You know, he put a lot of pressure on himself in ways that he hadn't done earlier in his career. You know, he was, like, the lovable underdog for a lot of his career. Part of that is the location of the franchise. Part of that is there was, like, this sentiment that he's better than Andrew Luck. You know, they're in the same draft class. Andrew was kind of touted as the second coming, right? And there was just like this, oh, you guys think Andrew's good, but wait till you see this guy we got from the Pacific Northwest. So he had that underdog thing. Then Luck retired. Russ had the keys to the franchise and the post Legion of Boom kind of run. And then it turned. It was like, all right, if you're going to be the highest paid player ever, which he was at the time of his deal in 2019, if you're going to copyright, let Russ cook and sell cookware, you know, and say you want to win MVP, like, he, and then you're going to call out the organization in the offseason. He did all of these things that basically put the pressure on him, which he wants, by the way, and then he's now failing to deliver. So I think the combination of those things has made it so that in Seattle, there's very much like a civil war going on of, are you on the Russ side or are you on the Pete side? And there's legitimate arguments for either one. So Russ isn't getting a pass over here.
Michael Sean Dugar's with us on Grant and Danny, scouting the opponent that is the Seattle Seahawks coming up on Monday Night Football. They got shut out a couple of games ago against the Packers, and then they scored 6 points before garbage time against the Cardinals, and that's one of the reasons there's some hope that even though Washington is limited, this is going to be a very competitive game, and at home maybe even a game they can win against a team at 3-7 that's still in the thick of things in the wild card hunt in Seattle. As it pertains to the future, I remember this offseason, the story came out about the teams Wilson would accept the trade to. What is the temperature on his long-term status as the QB1 in Seattle? Or right now, is there a chance he could be somewhere else next year?
Yeah, no, there was a chance he could be somewhere else when we put the story out, you know, detailing the rift between him and the front office. Just so happens that his agent gave Adam Schefter those four teams the day our story dropped. So it kind of took a little bit away from us. Not bitter or anything, just pointing that out. But I think, yeah, once we did that, once we did all that reporting and stuff, it was very clear, like, yo, we wouldn't have done that if we were thought all this was much ado about nothing. We knew there was something there, right? We just had to follow the breadcrumbs. I mean, boom, it led us to the story. And I think that the fact that no one in the organization and no one in Russ's camp saw our story and was like, hey, yeah, no, that got this wrong. No, they were all like, yeah, pretty much. You guys are on it. That let us know, like, no, man, we don't think – you can't have Russ and Pete back here in 2022. I knew that in March or February, whenever our story dropped. And
it's that bad. Like, changed. It's one or the other.
I think so. And a part of the – and people would probably look at this and from a – far, you're like, well, Mike, it's one bad season. They've had a decade of success. Why do they have to blow it up? And it's really important to note that Pete Carroll controls personnel around here. Like, general manager John Schneider gets credit for the drafting, but there's not one draft pick that John makes that Pete did not sign off on. In some cases, Pete's probably superseding what John would want and taking a guy here or there. So that's really important. So, like, how we got to the point where they're 3-7 through 10 games is largely due to very, very bad drafting pretty much since 2012, and that's a Pete Carroll thing. And so I think, yeah, it's gotten to the point where you have to choose, if you're the owner of the franchise, Jody Allen, between Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson. There's no reason to bring those two guys back for 2022 in their respective roles.
Michael Sean Dugard's with us, scouting the Seahawks on Grant and Danny. Now, the early season storyline was that this was a really bad defense. I'm just an outsider, but having watched them a bunch in the last month, going back and seeing some of these games, holding New Orleans to 13, the Jags to 7, Green Bay barely got to 17 in that ugly weather game, and then Arizona, you know, the high water mark at 23, it seems like they're starting to play a lot better on that side of the ball. I mean, first, is that fair? And second, if so, why?
Yeah, it started in week 4 when they introduced their dime package, their 6 defensive back third down grouping. And it just changed a lot. Like, they went from one of the worst third down teams in the league on defense to, if you go from like week 4 to like week 10, they're one of the best, honestly. What happened in week 11 is they didn't have their starting cornerback, DJ Reed, and their other starting cornerback, Trey Brown, got hurt in the second quarter. And then they were starting two guys who weren't even on the team during the preseason. And what do you know? They gave up like 50% conversion rate to Colt McCoy. That matters. So I think that turned their defense around because they don't generate a ton of turnovers. They're not really good at pressuring the quarterback. They were just money on third down. That was it. They got off the field, and they were good in the red zone. I guess those two things sparked the turnaround. But now Trey Brown just had season-ending knee surgery. I think DJ Reed will play against Washington. Washington may remember he's the guy who picked off Haskins last year in that Week 15 matchup. That's actually the last time a Seahawks cornerback has gotten an interception. Was that game. So
are you serious?
Quirky stat, right? Like, yeah, DJ Reed's interception, maybe Shaquille Griffin's. They both had one against Dwayne, but in that particular game, I think week 15, is the last time a Seahawks cornerback has recorded an interception. It's very, very strange. So like I said, they don't turn the other team over very often. They don't pressure the quarterback. The whole turnaround was just, let's be lights out on third down, and they really were. So I don't know if that's sustainable without guys who can cover at a really high level. And so I think they were playing really well. They were like one of the best third down defenses in the league in that stretch that I mentioned. I don't know how sustainable that is going forward, though. I guess we'll see against Washington.
So looking at the injury report from yesterday, limited practice, you mentioned the corner, DJ Reed, looked like Jamal Adams and running back Alex Collins with the ab both got on the practice field a little bit. What's important to monitor if we're trying to figure out who would be a big blow, a key loss for them? Who are some names this week to be tracking?
I mean, DJ Reed is a really big one. Like, he's a really good cover corner, even though he's like 5'10", maybe with his cleats on, but he's just a dog. Like, he looked forward to the matchup against Terry last year, and he had a really big pass breakup against Terry in the red zone. actually on the goal line, because you don't be an outside corner at 5'9" in the NFL unless you are a dog. Like, you got pretty much short man syndrome. It's like you just have to fight. Like, all your life you was fighting. That's just kind of how you get down. I think he's the main injury issue. You'll see DK Metcalf probably on the injury report. He's got a foot thing he's been dealing with, and I just have to call it a foot thing because I have no idea of the severity. Like, every time we ask DK Metcalf, like, oh, how's your foot? He's like, what are you talking about? It's like, all right, man, we're not just going to keep, you know, whatever. It's on injury report, my guy. But I also think their running back situation in Seattle is not great. They already lost Chris Carson for the year. Rashad Penny, their first-round pick of 2018, is banged up. He's always banged up. He literally got hurt after one carry against the Cardinals. So, like, who knows how well, you know, they'll be able to run the ball. You know, right tackle Brandon Shell's dealing with a shoulder thing. And last year against Washington, Seattle had to play with its backup right tackle, Cedric Abui. So, like, yeah, they're not super banged up, but guys at some key positions, like offensive tackle, receiver, cornerback, you know, stuff that really matters when you're trying to win a key game on primetime.
Read Mike's work in The Athletic. Seattle is joining us on Grant and Danny. So what's your feel on this, watching this team week in and week out, knowing them like you do? You go into Monday Night Football with what expectation for this game?
I mean, I'm just expecting a team to play an ugly game, you know, and I should clarify ugly. I'm not one of those people who thinks an ugly game is one that has, like, no points. Like, I do think that if defenses are playing well, that's pretty to me. You know, I like, you know, football's got two sides, you know, so I mean, just an ugly game on both sides in this regard, just because the Seahawks, I still expect them to be, like, okay on third down on defense. That'll probably make for some ugly stuff for the Washington's offense. And then you'll probably see Seattle's offense be just a mess because they're legitimately the worst third down offense in the league. Russ is the worst third down quarterback in the league this year. Like, when you can't get when you can't get off the field, or when you're constantly getting off the field on offense, and then when you kind of struggle on defense to get off the field, it just makes for some weird football. Kind of like that Packers game. If you look at it, those defenses weren't playing like steel curtain, purple people eaters type of defense. It was just really just a mess. Both quarterbacks looked off. Guys were dropping passes. It was just – I kind of expect something similar from both teams. I'm not like an expert on Washington. I only watched them a little bit, but I mean, like, they're not humming along like the number one seed, right? Like, they've got some flaws too. Yeah, so I expect a really ugly game. Ultimately, the team that probably just makes the fewest mistakes, honestly, or maybe the fewest mistakes in the second half, is probably the team that wins.
Sounds like we agree on an under and maybe something like a first team to 20 wins type Monday night game.
Yeah, what's the under? What's the over-under on this right now? I haven't looked.
46.5. You like that over or under?
I like the under. Oh, wow, this is a pick 'em too. Basically, just from what I'm looking at. Wow, even money. That's right. Man, Vegas doesn't think either one of these teams is very good. But that probably sounds about right. They're probably pretty evenly matched. Again, I'm not like a Washington expert. Like, you guys know the team a lot better. I follow from afar. But, yeah, neither team seems very good. Both teams seem pretty flawed and pretty, like, obvious categories, but they seem to do a few things well. Like, it seems like Washington protects really well up front, which is always good if you can sustain that. So, yeah, I think it's a pretty even matchup. And, again, yeah, I'm with you. Maybe the first team to 20 points is probably the one that wins.
We appreciate the insight. Great to get to know the Seahawks a little better. Enjoy the trip out here, and we'll chat with you soon.
All right, thanks for having me.
Michael Sean Dugar getting us up to speed on the Seahawks. Check him out in The Athletic out in Seattle. Want to thank everybody for listening today. Enjoy what is left of your holiday Friday. It's a great sports weekend. Sit back, eat some leftovers, have yourself some fun with the family. Danny's back on Monday, and we will spend the entire day getting you up to speed on Washington and Seattle, previewing a massive game for the football team. We'll be live from FedEx Field, which will be a lot of fun. Enjoy your weekend. Caps Hockey is next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.